we're sitting there, and it's me, D, my wife, James, and his wife. And I go, what's our first concerts? And James goes, Aerosmith. He goes into Aerosmith. And then his wife goes, some Spanish, Julio Iglesias. I say Johnny Cash, and we're eating dinner. And my wife goes, Bon Jovi. And he drops his and he drops his knife and fork, and he goes, get out.
You know what? You know what you get when you combine the power of the award-winning band with the genius of an award-winning electronics company? You get some of the best sound ever created, Iron Maiden and Onkyo. Have joined forces. We have joined forces to create Maiden Audio and the Maiden Audio Headphones. Made especially for rock and metal fans.
I can say this, I sang with Jim last week, and it was very metal, and I had my phones on.
Did they fit over your ears, Mr. Halford?
I don't know about that, but I will say this. They're designed with Iron Maiden's legendary Steve Harris.
Beautiful.
And these studio quality headphones, Joe, truly must be heard to be believed. I mean, there's one thing believing it, but once you hear it, you truly believe it. So if I was you, Joe, giggle all you want, but visit shoponkyo.com.
Do you think Rob Halford listened to Iron Maiden on the headphones, or do you think he listened to Judas Priest?
That's a silly question, Mike.
I don't know the answer.
Do you, Halford?
I'll tell you this. Just click on headphones when you go to Onkyo.com and get your pair today for only $199.
That's it?
And keep listening to your chance to win a pair at shoponkyo.com and click on headphones. It's very metal. Very metal. And for those you don't know, I often put on my Iron Maiden headphones and I listened to the song that I did with Bruce Dickinson, and it was called The One You Love to Hate. I highly suggest you check it out.
The history lesson. Beautiful. Yeah.
You know what? For those of you who haven't heard that song, Lou's going to play it at the end of this when I got to sing with Halford, The One You Love to Hate.
Awesome.
All right, there you go.
We're all wearing headphones right now since there's no cameras in the room.
That's right.
And everything sounds awesome.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up, everyone? The Metal and Me. Here we go. Today we just have Joe.
Woohoo.
And Mike.
Yeah.
Me, and I need to start off right away going, if you're late, I don't know if you just discovered us, but we started a chat, with Joe. He got on a scale. I was really taken back when I walked in today. So after the holidays, he's lost a lot of weight. A lot of weight.
Discipline. Mm-hmm. I did discipline myself during the holidays, which was horrible.
Yeah, but you got to be doing something else. Like, you're eating right or not eating late or something. Are you doing the thing I told you? Like, try 8 hours on, 16 hours off, or?
I guess now that you say that, I probably am. What I am doing is not eating late, which...
Huge.
Yeah, tremendous. I mean, that was like I said in the last podcast, that is like my favorite thing on earth to do is get a giant sandwich and at like 3 a.m. watch.
Yeah, and look at you now. You're
sci-fi
like,
film.
Yeah, and look at you now. Your clothes are baggy. Your sweatshirt's baggy.
Well, it's funny because now I'm still watching those sci-fi films, and the whole time I'm sitting there going, "Oh God, I want a sandwich so bad." But it's because
you're mentally getting over it.
It's definitely because of this. It's like it is disciplining yourself. It's so funny.
That's it. It is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, I don't know, to me it's one of those things where I'm one of those guys where it's like, I'd prefer if it's right in front of me, like, so it's like, there should be a sandwich in my refrigerator at all times, and I'm one of those guys that goes, if you take this, you're a jerk, you know? So it's like, I kind of like it a little bit more when it's like a challenge like that. Ah, so
very impressive.
But
yeah, I'm the opposite. I want nothing in the house or I get...
I don't either.
I get so... I just can't not.
If I don't either.
I can't help myself.
I try my best now, no sugar. I try best with no sugar.
Yeah.
Everything I can without sugar, but I don't win that battle every day.
Yeah,
I go
of
to
course.
Starbucks and I get a... And I have a 3-shot white peppermint mocha. In my mind, I'm like, all right, that's it. That's enough for the day. But today I saw homemade chocolate chip cookies sitting next to the toaster. I had to take them and put them in another room. But as a crack addict, I know the crack is in there. And I'll go in there and I'll circle the crack. I'll look at the crack and I'll walk away. But it's tormenting me. Well, just knowing it's in there, it's tormenting me.
When I went to your house to feed your cats and I did my laundry.
Would you eat, Mike?
you have a jar of taffy.
Oh, God, eat it all.
Like, every time I went there, I had a couple pieces of taffy. By the time it was like I had 13 pieces of taffy at the end of 2 days.
Please knock it out. Eat all the taffy.
I felt disgusting. But I see them and I just go, did you wonder what flavor this one is? There's like the minty ones.
Good. I'm glad you did that. So, in case you don't know, our shows, we do have a show in Peoria. We're booking more. We're meeting a guy tomorrow who's a marketer. Mike, you come with me?
Yeah.
And our show in Vegas is now, we've all building up for, is now not happening.
Yeah! Yeah, this is how you do it. You build it up, you build it up, you build it up, and you say, you make them wait.
You make them wait. Want more. Forget those calls to Mike from South Point Casino. Faked all you out.
Here, have a seat. Move the chair.
Here, see. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Hope you all got your plane tickets.
All right.
Hope you booked your rooms and everything.
Tell me how it is in Vegas Super Bowl weekend. Nothing's going on.
I love calling on my friends going, yeah, you're definitely going.
Did you book it? This is a big
awesome.
April Fool's joke.
I'm not. We're not, but you're still, you should go.
Have fun. Tell us how the show is.
A lot of them, too, were staying that extra day for the Super Bowl, and it's like, thank God they did that. Yeah. Now they have something to do there.
Now you have something to look forward to. It's going to be a big Super Bowl. Oh, it's going to be so exciting.
We should do this every like couple shows, just book it and cancel.
We got a huge show coming up.
We're playing the Garden.
Yeah, we're opening for Metallica.
And it's in. Get your tickets now. You know what? We're calling the guy who books the gig right now.
You'll hear us talk to him just so you know it's really happening.
You guys fell for it week after week. There was
making
no mic from
videos.
It's no Mike from South Point Casino. He's one of our friends.
Did you guys realize we never put the videos up? Because none of it exists.
It doesn't exist, you dummies. We showed you how fake news works. We are the Russian hackers.
Right. This was all a lesson.
Don't believe anything you hear on the radio.
Especially us.
We just taught you a lesson.
But we're still going to do our last show to prepare.
But we are going to play Bernie's
tomorrow.
That's
really going to
happen. Bernie's is on.
Bernie's, we're playing.
Well, no,
you're listening.
We have to book another huge stadium or something just so we could do warm-up shows for it.
Oh, my God.
Otherwise, we have no reason to do warm-up shows. We're not going to practice.
Oh, my gosh. That is... absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts.
So can you say why?
Yes, here's the real reason. The real reason why. For those of you, if you've been following me, I've got to do 2 episodes on the sitcom Kevin Can Wait. I heard in December, hey, man, we're working on... we're definitely going to have a script or two for you in the new year. And I was like, okay. I don't take anything for granted. Just like the audience shouldn't take for granted when we say we're going to Vegas. We are going to be there February 3rd and 4th at the South Point Casino. Get your tickets now.
Get tickets for Scotland, too. We're going to be there for
Scotland 3 weeks. First week. First 3 weeks in August.
Book some Airbnbs.
Book it.
You know, January came, like, oh, all right. And then literally, what do we, when did I call, what did it say, Monday? So it was Friday?
Yeah.
It was Thursday or Friday when I got the call, said, hey, Kevin can wait. They need you January 30th to the February 3rd.
There you go.
And I went, ugh. And they go, I see you're in Vegas.
And it's sold out.
Can we, and it's completely overbooked. They're adding 7 more shows. They want to see how many extra shows you can book.
Someone said, it looks like there's only a few tickets, but I said, no, that's the second show.
That's the
first show is already sold out.
Wow. Forget it. You can't get tickets.
Wow.
But anyway.
Well, at least they do their research like Amy. I know when you give us like dates, Amy always goes onto the computer as like, does he have another gig at that time? Let's see. So they know what they're doing.
So February 3rd, I guess I'll be filming the third episode of CBS's Kevin Can Wait with Kevin James as the priest, Father Phil.
Do you know anything about it or no? You don't. Have you seen like, your script? Or...
What? No, I haven't seen a script. Right now, the story premises something that... Kevin's, maybe I shouldn't say.
Yeah. Let's just hope you don't.
Yeah, because
die.
I don't know if it's a big surprise or something like that. I haven't watched the show, so I don't know if this is one of those things. If I say it and people are like, oh my God, you're kidding me. But he needs
spoiler
the priest for a specific thing.
Is it a wiffle ball tournament by any
chance? It is, and it is, coincidentally enough, it's in Vegas.
So you could go.
Can we still go play wiffle ball with the guy at least that week?
I actually thought about that. I was like, if you guys want to go, this guy, excuse me,
play wiffle.
I got to get all my tickets. I have like 6 tickets I booked. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with those tickets. I did take trip insurance, but are they going to allow me for a work thing? I don't know.
I think it's soon enough.
I think it's very soon. Yeah. I hope so. So I got to call United and hope that they'll, you know, grant me at least to change the tickets.
They better, or we might have to talk bad about United on the podcast.
Yeah,
we might have to trash them.
We might have to do a bad commercial for United.
Although that's the only airline I fly.
We love United.
I do.
Yeah.
I think it's, I always fly United. You know what? I got to say, they hooked me up years ago. This was a disaster. I used all my points so I can fly first class to Maui.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking like 750,000 points. And I remember I booked it really far in advance. And then about 3 months beforehand, I got a notice saying the flight awareness. It wasn't straight through. We had a...
overland?
Connecting flight. Yeah. So they changed the flight leaving Newark, but now I would miss my connecting flight. So I had a call and I said, hey, you changed this flight and I'm now not going to make my connecting flight. I said, oh, all right, well, let's look at some options. And they booked it and blah, blah, blah. Well, it was before the time. Like now when I do anything, if I book a flight, I get texts. Hey, you could check in.
Right.
Hey, don't forget to check in tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And it was really weird because I didn't get the text. And something told me like, oh, that's really weird. I should check. Usually I get some type of awareness thing. So I pack everyone up, get the kids. We argue, getting on time. We go all the way to the airport, and we go to check in. It says, need to see. Now, I check in on the kiosk thing, and it says, need to see agent.
Ugh. Worst thing you could see.
It's like going to the to getting detention.
Right. That's worse than it saying you're a jerk.
Yeah. So now I go to the agent, and the agent goes, I don't have your reservation. I went, No. Look, she goes, no, I see. I don't. Did you ever change the flight?
Ugh.
So
now it's your fault.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Oh, God, yes, because the connecting flight, we had to change. She went, yeah, your flight was about 4 hours ago, and so that's why it's all canceled out. She's not going to get your points back. I mean, that's not our fault. I had a heart attack.
Yes, 750,000 points. Jesus.
And so now I said, well, oh, my God. Okay. Is because we have people waiting for us. Can you, is there another flight tomorrow? Tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they might not even fly out because there's a huge storm hitting Maui. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, no, all flights are looking to be canceled for like the next 3 days. So our trip is like 6 nights, and now we're looking at a 2-night.
Yeah.
So now we feel really stupid. I call who we're going to see.
Was this not too long ago?
It's about a year and a half ago. Because this was part of a birthday thing for someone.
Yeah.
And part of the birthday was flying to Maui. And it's a big surprise, bing bang.
You didn't surprise anyone?
No. The surprise was on me. Okay. You're not going to Maui, you're not going to Vegas. Boopy doopy 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 doo.
It's like a surprise. It's like all my friends are here except Jim.
Where's Jim and his family? So I called up United and I called up the points people, and she's like, oh wow, that's horrible. She went, unfortunately, it's not. That's a mistake on your side, and policies don't allow, like, that's, if someone was sick or we goofed it up, it's all back in your pocket. But because you didn't write it down, and you, and this was confirmed, and you, Chuck, you know what, let me call headquarters. And so I'm on the phone, you know, my wife's like, what's going on? The kids are, are we going to Maui? What are we doing?
Always makes things better.
What are we
happening?
Doing? Why are we here? You made us get up early.
Dude, you're so stupid.
Are oh we God, there yet?
How'd you do this? So over an hour and 20 minutes, maybe an hour and a half, just sitting in the terminal in limbo, lady gets on the phone. She's like, you are a lucky individual. I went, oh my God, thank you, thank you. She went, no, don't thank me. Thank my boss. My boss felt horrible that you had kids, that you planned it. Lily said, I can only imagine how this man feels right now.
Wow.
Just give him back his points.
That wow, does not United. Always
so
happen.
So thank you, United, United Airlines.
We are all united with yes. United.
Yeah. I'm traveling United for now on only.
Yeah.
And that's a true story, man. They gave me back my 650,000 miles after I messed up.
How long wow. did it take you to accumulate that much?
Oh, my God. At the time, years.
So you had the whole family first class.
Yes. Now, last year, this just shows you how many miles I've been accumulating the last couple of years. Last year, last July, I went to Tokyo.
All right.
Used, I had 1 million, literally like 243 miles.
Wow.
To my name. 1,200,000 miles. is what I had to use to go first class to Tokyo.
The traveling working class comedian, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Brewer. That's why everybody likes you, because you see them.
And it left me 43 miles. I look today, I have almost 450,000 miles since July of booking flights.
You're not just
how
flying.
Is the trip?
Not bad.
You're flying the friendly skies.
Isn't that crazy?
That's why I have Instagram friends in, like, Idaho, is because you actually go there and do a show, and they pick up on all of us. Like, that's amazing.
Why do I? I have to. That's what I do.
You don't have to. A lot of people don't. You do, and that's why you have this following, is because you actually, you hit the ground, you know. You hit the
hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Unchained.
You got to stay out there. Unchained. So, now, even though I am a little heartbroken, but something tells me...
Yeah, of course, but...
I'm pretty excited about where we're going and what we create. I love the Last Burning Show is now the direction of where this should be going on a deeper level. And then this Bernie show is really good. We had a great meeting with Bill today. Mm-hmm. Like a structure of it all. And then...
McGarvey?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was talking... I picked up the one of the amps that we used for the speakers at that show, and he was talking to me about just like the how there's order and stuff like that. And it was great. When I walked up to him at the end of the show, he looked at me and he did this total like director thing. He was like, "This works for you." Like his hand, and like he kept making saying, this circle. He's like this, the pants and it.
He goes, "Joe should buy 8 pairs of that exact outfit."
Yeah.
And wear that all the time.
What were you wearing that night? I don't remember.
It was actually one of the, when you said
retro.
Yeah, the
we
retro
all wear
thing,
retro shirts.
Amy got me a Power Slave shirt for Christmas.
Awesome.
So I wore that. And, you know, the pants jeans. That, yeah, like the black, they're like gray black jeans that we got, a chain, black chucks.
I like the retro thing.
Oh, yeah. Those shoes were sense. Great. Those yeah. shoes were awesome.
Yeah, they were like some punk chucks or something like that. You know what it is? This is what it is, too, is I also have a white sleeve, long sleeve shirt under it, and that works because my bass is completely black with a white trim around it.
Yeah.
And people always comment on that if I did that purposely.
Right, right, right.
And since they do that, now I am.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like...
Yeah, it was a good night. And that's the direction to go in a deeper fashion.
Yeah. Well, just to be aware of it, not just go metal, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, we also talked about it here in this room after one of the podcasts and we stopped taping.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we had that deep, deep conversation of where the talking show should go.
Right.
On a deeper.
And you went to some of those stories you told us.
Yeah.
Yes.
After that podcast.
And that's what people, right? They completely resonated with all that night. And that's what they're going to in the future.
That's definitely the story that you used as like one of the recognitions to yourself that, hey, comedy is something I want to do.
Right.
Like professionally, like the story that you told at the Last Burnies is, that's moving.
The real story about the friend of mine who died and me at the funeral. Like,
That's like chilling to hear when you get to the end.
Yeah.
It's like one of those. It makes me realize, like, back in the day, it used to be like you sit around the campfire and there's the one guy who's the storyteller.
Yes.
You know? And you're just like, he used to tell us stories. And I was always just like, sounds like a fucking boring night, you know?
Yeah.
But now I understand it's like, because the stories made you think, they made you go in a different direction than you were.
And it's a lot deeper than people anticipate.
Yeah.
And that resonates with everyone.
And that's what you could tell by, first of all, by the silence. In the room.
Loved it.
There was silence. And then you just hear, oh.
Yeah, you heard like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was great.
And then the drum in with that and then hit him with the music.
And when we were done and we get this request from Bernie going, you didn't play thrash.
Unbelievable.
Got to play thrash. We all unplugged. We were like,
actually, what happened was we unplugged. Someone shouted out Thrash, and Jim was like, "Oh yeah, we didn't play Thrash. Sorry, next time."
Yes.
And Bernie was like, "Hey," and Jim was like, "Oh, Bernie wants Thrash."
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's when it was like, "All right, plug back in."
Yep.
You know.
And that Thrash was a great version of Thrash you did there too.
Yep.
Yeah, that was absolutely freaking. That was really freaking amazing. I got to tell you, to see Bernie,
mm-hmm.
and then what did Bill say today? Bill was like. Bill goes, when you guys were leaving, I guess Bernie's son.
Yeah, he came out and said, he's like, I don't mean to interrupt you, but Jim, I've seen Jim, you know, do this a bunch. He's like, he went in a different direction tonight. It's like, it was really deep.
Yeah.
We were all just in there talking about it. So it's like, that's what I want.
I want
people to leave and be like,
yeah.
They start talking about it like it's not what they expected, not in a really good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know I had someone emailed me. A person wrote me and my wife went to go see a Bernie's and we had no clue what to expect, to be quite honest with you. Thrown off by seeing the band. And the stories that you told were deep, powerful, riveting. And my wife doesn't even like that music. I will go out on a limb and say she can't stand that music. And she actually loved it to the point where we talked about it in the whole ride home and downloaded the album the next day. I hope to see that Bernie show again. You mentioned something about the 18th. We will definitely be there. I love this side of Jim Brewer.
That's great.
That is what I'm looking for what we're doing.
Right.
That's the sales pitch right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking awesome.
And I love that it's like a woman.
Yes.
It's not what, because like when we've played so far, we play like the metal festivals and it's always our line when people come for the signings.
Yeah.
Yes.
There might be like three girls.
Yeah,
and
it's mostly
a lot of dudes.
Yeah, it's mostly guys.
Yeah, but I think with this, the direction you're going, it's not that's not the crowd that it's going to be.
No, I also want to like write. I've been dying to write. Like I'm going crazy, not having more. It's starting to drive me nuts.
Right.
Like I want to get into it. I don't know when we get the time for it, but it's making me crazy. I want to start doing more stuff.
I mean, there's a million ideas that we've gotten together already when we were just talking about getting what was the podcast going to be? Like, is it a show? Are we having a show? It's like we have a lot of stuff put together already that, I mean, it's more brainstorming stuff that we've all done. And it's like we should totally go back and kind of pull out what we were looking at there in the first place and, you know, and write more stuff and, you know.
No, I'm talking about musically.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no. I'm going musically. I'm going crazy.
Right, not having... Like,
that's great. That's even cooler.
Like, I'm already tired of the other... It's like, I want us to create now...
Yeah.
...with a bunch of stuff and start throwing it into a melting pot and let's put stuff together. I got to be honest with you. This new Metallica, it's inspired me. It is the best... Metallica for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never tell that to any of the guys because I also realized at this stage in the game when people come up to me, they're like, hands down, your greatest bit is this and that. I'm not insulted.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay. I don't think that's the best, but
right.
If you think if that's what brings you to me, that's fine. So I realized as a actor, comedian, whatever, a musician, whatever, when someone goes, yeah, hands down, the best thing you do is this. Yeah. So I wouldn't go, hands down, this is, but for me,
right,
as a like a really big Metallica fan, I haven't repeatedly listened to an album, and I mean repeatedly.
Yeah.
I can't stop in 25 years. It's the lyrics, what they're doing, the music. I feel like this new Metallica album, they didn't try at all. They were just like, you know what? Let's just do this. Let's do this because we want to do this. And it is freaking awesome.
Well, they made the right album for the time.
Yes.
For now.
You know, I feel like they wrote exactly what they should have wrote right here, right now.
Because that's what's hard is that if you hear something and then you go, oh, this is what people are doing now, then you write it, it comes out, you're a little late.
Right.
It was supposed to come out
before,
a year or two ago. But yes. They wrote it now, you know? But don't you think that if, like, when you hear, oh, your best thing is blah, 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 isn't it worse when it's something you did 25 years
ago?
Well,
I hear that all the time.
Oh, God. People
the don't party know that. In the stomach bit is still the greatest bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you also go, like, they probably only heard that in a couple more things.
Right. They've never even seen me live.
Well, right.
Also, the amount of time that you've heard that bit because you do it so often pales in comparison to how many times they've heard it.
Right.
So at this point, you're done with it. You know,
I've been done with it for 15 years.
Yeah.
20 years.
Like to them, they've only heard it maybe 20 times.
Right. Right. It's new to them, but when you did it a long time ago, it's like the only way you could ever say that without it being insulting is if it's something you heard for the first time tonight.
Yeah.
You know, the best thing you ever did, and you had to have just written it too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's saying you peaked 10 years ago.
Yes. And that's the power of the internet. Now I get it. And it's amazing that something like that can live and breathe and people discover it. And then they start searching more about you.
Yeah.
And then they start to like more and more and more.
Well, that was the thing when you went to Europe and did that. You said that there was this big explosion of that bit, the party in your stomach, right before we went. And everybody there, the second you went up. When you're going to a party, people just started going nuts.
Everyone knew it. It was like a song.
But it was like they knew it from something 2 weeks ago.
Right.
It just exploded there for some reason.
There's the thing, too, when we sang with Lizzie Hale, that I'm going to say it had to have been that, Shoot the Thrill. That video it went on a circuit. For some reason, AC/DC was put out there and it said, top singers that should sing for AC/DC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it said Jim Brewer, and it showed our video of us performing with Lizzie Hale.
Right.
Uh-huh. And it was just really funny because some people see that, and when I think of that song, I bust out laughing every time because I think of that day
of her
walking. Yes. And then her walking by, you put your hand out, she doesn't see it, you stand there with your hand out, and then Joe just points to you and starts belly laughing
in front of
all these thousands of people.
I have no clue people are watching us.
Oh, my God, we're being videotaped. And Joe watches the whole thing, and he just points, and he's like, you got dissed by Lizzie Hale.
Well, the best part is, after it happens, we talk about it. And then it's like someone finds the video of that, and then they find her introduced, and you could watch it.
Oh.
So now we can watch me getting dissed by Lizzie Hale.
It is belly laughing hilarious.
And Eric made the video with some... It did
yes,
it in
like
slow motion.
And
me getting dissed in slow motion.
So that's... But that video and that song we do with Lizzie Hale, which, by the way, have you heard Lizzie Hale's newer stuff? She did covers of Whitesnake, I want to say, in the Still the Night.
Oh, wow.
No kidding.
That's great.
Oh, my. It's ridiculous.
That's a great song.
We have to get her on the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna email her and see if we can get her on.
I wonder what we're going to talk about the whole time.
We have to talk to her about that.
Now that, we're going to have to bring that up. That'd be really funny.
She has no idea she did that.
No.
She was doing, no, she, has, of course she was not. Walking by. She saw you.
Yes.
And her eyes lit up, and I just became, she saw like a hand of a guy, and she's like, yeah, this is what you do. And then she sees you across the stage, and her eyes lit up. She goes running over.
Yeah, she she started half it. Waved or something.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the point to you was so, like, I didn't even mean to do it. It was just like...
It was like we were in your living room.
Exactly.
And you were laughing.
That's what I mean. It was just like one of those stupid things. I was like, oh, nice one. And I was like, oh, we're on stage.
And there's video cameras all around.
Oh, man, I tell you, that was freaking awesome. But that song, now it's on this thing called, I don't know, the Singers for whatever. So they showed that video, and I'm assuming, because of that video, by the end of the week on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
2002, I did AC/DC doing the Hokey Pokey.
Mm-hmm.
10 million views.
Oh, wow. Great.
And I went, great. Someone came up to me 3 days later, like, do you know your Hokey Pokey is like 10 million views this week? I went, what? What are you talking about?
That's so weird. That's amazing. How it's like, so you do a thing with Lizzie Hale. People start writing in, oh, he should be the singer for AC/DC. Then they start typing in Jim Brewer, AC/DC.
Boom. That Hokey thing Pokey. Comes
up. Yeah.
Yep.
Bang. 10 million views, 3 days. Yeah. That's insane.
Wow.
But that's the power of the internet.
Well, that's how you have to learn to control those things and make them happen.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I will say this to, oh, I didn't even tell you guys. I did this thing on Comedy Central called The Comedy Jam.
Yep.
And I did it with Rob Halford.
Yeah.
We have to get him too. Woo! Let me write that down.
Yes.
Definitely.
We need Lizzie Hale. We need Rob Halford.
And Big J Okerson.
And Big J, I got to say, he sang a Billy Idol song,
mm-hmm.
and he sounded amazing. Wow. He sounded amazing. It was a really cool moment, but at the same time, I had to have a little... I didn't realize how privileged I am. So meaning, I show up to the event, and everyone who runs it is amazing. It's a great concept. To me, it's a cool show. It's just such a cool show. One guy sang with REO Speedwagon.
Cool.
He's more of an actor, producer. He kind of does everything. Mm-hmm. And his thing was some girl... He told some girl he can play every instrument, and I don't know. I don't want to kill the story, and not do it. And then he goes on. I can't help this feeling anymore, and he sings it with the lead singer REO Speedwagon.
Wow,
who actually? It was so weird. At one point, he finishes a song, and we're up next. Me and Rob Halford are going up next. And to see the lead singer of REO Speedwagon talking with Halford
yeah,
was awesome. And so I get there, rehearse it, everything's fine. They say Rob will be in the day of the show. So I do my story. Actually, it was going to be the Bon Jovi story, and I changed it. I turned it more into almost what our opening of our show is like. The guy goes, all right, you're going to shit. Now it's the day of the show, and we have a rehearsal, and this is with Halford. And he comes out, and he's dressed like a rocker, but not Halford.
Uh-huh.
I've seen Halford before. I've sang with Halford before. I've sang three songs with Rob Halford. I've sang The Devil's Child.
Mm-hmm.
I sang The One You Love to Hate.
Nice.
And I sang... oh my God, Locked and Loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with Sebastian Bach too.
Right. Wow.
So, and I've had him on my radio show on Sirius a billion times when I was on, at least six times. He would come on, he'd hang out the whole show. So I've seen him in Germany and Metallica's 30-year icon. So when I'm telling the story, right? Now, everyone, I don't know if they're like this with every entertainer, but they're like, dude, Rob Howe, dude, this is sick. Thank you so much. I'm like, no, this is sick.
Yeah.
This is so sick that Rob Halford, I went, it's pretty cool. So I tell the story, I finish the story, and I go backstage. And me and Rob do the song, And the writer comes up to me and he goes, do you, and he's kind of timid. He doesn't, I feel like he's afraid to give me notes. Cause do you mind if I said, yeah, man, it's a TV show. We want the best for this. What's up? Tell me what's up. He goes, you know, the story is, it's great when you're talking about the oldies, but when you get to introducing Rob, can you make it sound like this is like one of the greatest moments in your life? Because that's kind of what
yeah.
the show is, and that's what people do.
You're too much of a friend.
And I literally went, oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
I go, oh my God, you're right.
Right.
I'm up there like, yeah, by the way, okay, so me and Halford, we're going to sing You Got Anything Coming. This song changed my life and it started my whole life on the way I think and rock and my whole life. This song changed my life. So here's Halford, enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's my buddy Rob.
Yeah, and that's the way, and I had a moment where I went, oh my God, you have to dig deeper here and really... really sell this for what? Imagine you were 17 and this was happening.
Right. Yeah.
And it was really cool because the way it ended and the best compliment ever was audience members and the production going, dude, your lead up to that story, it was almost better than it just, it made the song 10 times better. I have to say, you were the only entertainer where it was like, this moment's greater than any other moment. And what I said was, which was kind of the truth, people ask me all the time, hey, was the greatest moment with Pesci and De Niro? It was a good moment. Well, Jack Nicholson, yeah, it was a good, meeting the Mets, hanging out with Mets, yeah, they would, there were good moments. You go on vacation with this guy and you know this rock star. Yeah. And I went, and I met Ozzy, I met everyone. So what led up to the actual, this TV show, I sat there and I got really dead serious. And I said certain words that changed my life because they were pivotal. I was 17. My mom wanted me to go to school. We were blue collar. We lived by the airport. I didn't want to be blue collar. I saw how bad and how hard my parents busted their balls with just nothing. They just retire when they're almost 70 and you get 10, maybe 5-6 years of kicking ass before you get a stroke or a gout or open heart surgery and wobble the rest of the years. Oh my God. Is that what life is?
Mm-hmm.
And that song, You Got Another Thing Coming. Out there's a fortune just waiting to be had. Be mad. You got another thing. And then the middle section with the...
In this world
we're living in, we have our share of pain and sorrow. Gotta aim for a new tomorrow. At that, it changed my whole life. As silly as that sounds. And I go, and so I tell that story, and I go, so when people ask me, what's your favorite moment? Was it being a half-baked with Dave Chappelle? Was it working with this icon or that icon or Alec Baldwin and Tom Hanks? I go, to be dead honest with you, it's right now.
Really?
This song.
Oh, I thought you meant me and Mike.
No.
No.
Joe is so flattered. Did you know that was the story, Joe, or no? Oh
no, but I could feel it. You know, I was kind of biting my lip for the last 5 seconds, like, I'm going to say me and Mike, me and Mike, me and Mike.
I think that, oh, really? Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Your face was so... You were so engaged in that story, Joe, that I actually believed you for a second.
The story's amazing. Yeah.
Oh my god, it's freaking hilarious. Oh my god.
This is pretty fun, but I don't know about the greatest greatest moment of your life.
I don't know. Singing with Halford, the song that changed my life together. I don't know. I think hanging out with Mike and Joe beats it right now. Right.
The only thing that's holding it back is my coffee maker didn't work.
That was really aggravating. But you know what's not aggravating? It's that time of year, everywhere you turn. Awards are being handed out for outstanding performances. And that includes the Grammy Awards, celebrating the best of the best. And to help commemorate. Is that right?
Commemorate.
What is this for?
What do you think it's for?
Deep discount?
DeepDiscount.com! Yes, is holding the annual Grammys then and now sale. DeepDiscount.com!
Deep Discount!
A great site to buy your favorite music at incredibly low prices.
DeepDiscount.com!
You'll find thousands of titles to choose from. Artists like, who did I just talk about? Metallica!
Count!
Nine Inch Nails, Rage Against the Machine, Black Sabbath, and more at DeepDiscount.com. You'll find music, old and new, rock, alternative rock, concert performances from all genres. Last week's new CD release of I See You from artist The XX.
Double X.
You'll see compilation albums too, including Deep Discount's Deal Grabber of the Week, a CD featuring various artists nominated for Grammys this year. So you can get it great price at deepdiscount.com, a great site to find music, movies, TV shows, and so much more at incredibly low prices. Check out deepdiscount.com, a great sponsor on our show. Thank you, deepdiscount.com. So, as you're actually, if you do watch the Grammys.
Everybody watches the Grammys.
Oh, God, it's my favorite.
Almost as many people that watch the Grammys should be going to deepdiscount.com.
That's right. Well, that's what's going to happen. Uh-huh. So while you're watching the Grammys and you go, oh, my favorite artist won, that's when you go to deepdiscount.com.
All the Grammy winners are on deepdiscount.com.
All the Grammy winners are on deepdiscount.com. There you go.
And so is
Buy
our
for
album.
A friend. And so is our album. Yeah.
Are we getting nominated for a Grammy?
We are
the Grammys.
Not getting nominated.
We are on deepdiscount.com.
So, did you see that they love our ads?
What do you mean? Who loves our ads?
I think it's Deep Discount.
Deep Discount.
How do you know that?
Because Lou wrote to us today.
He did?
Yeah.
How could Deep Discount not like our ads?
I love doing it. I'm not going to lie to you. I love doing Deep Discount ads.
Doing the job.
I love doing it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to create songs for them.
Uh-huh.
I want to create.
Yeah. And we should make an album just for them.
The result.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
The result of nearly 70 years of audio expertise. Not 20 years. We're not talking like, what was it, 2017?
Oh, I thought you were announcing winners.
So did I.
No, you dummies.
I was a drum roll to announce the winner.
I didn't know if you're having a spaz attack. I didn't know what was going on. I thought you looked like you had electric shock therapy over
there. It's like Jim's trying to talk and Joe's going.
And what was going on?
For 70 years, Frank from Brooklyn has won Deep Discount.
What the hell is wrong over there?
I keep saying Deep Discount. Yeah, Onkyo headphones.
Yes, the result of 70 years of audio expertise from Onkyo, combined with Steve Harris' uncompromising sonic standards, have produced the Maiden Audio headphones. on-ear headphones that will deliver even-handed power and detail at all frequencies. Designed with Iron Maiden Steve Harris, the new Maiden Audio headphones are studio-quality headphones made especially for rock and metal fans.
Did you know that you could get their personal EQ, the EQs of the guys in the band?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
That's right. It's even in these high-end, high-spec premium headphones truly have to be heard to believe. There's an even an Maiden Audio app available on iOS and Android that contains exclusive EQ settings of all the Iron Maiden
band. You know, Steve Harris has the bass really high.
Right. The bass is cranked.
It's all him.
And that makes it a perfect
It sounds amazing when you listen to like hip hop because the bass is cranked.
Perfect. I bet you we could figure without, like, if we were blind, like a blind study, we could figure out who did the mix.
Definitely.
Because the bass would be the loudest.
Blind people love headphones.
We did a blind study, and headphones are definitely the best.
I do have a blind friend. I should, and he's a metal head. I should give him the headphones and see whose settings they actually are set at. Visit shoponkyo.com and click on headphones to get your pair today. Only $199. Keep listening for instructions on how you can win a pair, courtesy of my sponsor, Onkyo USA, at shoponkyo.com and click on headphones. It's going to be the best thing you do today. Trust me.
And if you do win, Jim will announce your name and I'll go.
So I got to do the thing with Halford, and it was the coolest thing in the world. And yeah, I'm super excited.
Did you hang out with him?
Yeah, we talked a little bit, and we even talked a little metal. Mm-hmm. And he said that Priest is recording right now a new album, and he said it's very metal and very, very good.
Nice.
That's what Halford said. He didn't have to say that to me.
Right.
He said it's really good and it's very metal. And he also gave Metallica a compliment. He said, Jim, when I heard the new Metallica, it reminded me of the days. This is what he said. He goes, you know, like you growing up, you're still in the world of Screaming for Vengeance, Painkiller, British Steel, maybe. He goes, and a lot of Metallica fans are stuck in Masters and, you know, Ride the Lightning in those days. But I feel like the new Metallica has kind of, it's really hit perfectly for who they are now. It's absolutely brilliant. He goes, when he heard, Spit Out the Bone. Mm-hmm. Oh, it is full blown Metallica thrash metal. And if you're a thrash metal guy and you go, yeah, you know, I'm into this, and you forget who the gods are. Mm-hmm. And you could say whoever, it's this or this. Well, I got news for you. It's freaking Metallica.
Yeah, definitely.
Case closed.
It's funny. When that album first came out, too, a lot of people, when you asked them how they felt about it, they weren't sure, which is always, to me, a great sign. It sucks. It's not that, especially the worst thing you could hear is the first time you hear it, it's amazing. It's like, you have to absorb it. And it's like, the more I think people heard it, the more and more they've liked it.
Yeah.
And it's just,
and that's what's happening to me. I gravitated towards like two songs, and now, come on. Are you kidding me? Come on! Instant mosh pit. This is the Metallica. Okay.
I'm kicking down Mike's wall
now. Me too. I'm putting it back up.
All right.
And this song is funny because it reminds me of, it's called Spit Out the Bone, but it's machines and how we're putting all our life into machines.
Oh.
and I thought phones. It was about eating chicken wings.
Hey, man, spit out that bone. Carve that red meat off there and spit out that bone. You don't eat the bone, stupid. The song is about your dog eating the entire bone.
He's choking on it.
Right. Holding Godzilla upside down. Going, spit it out.
Hey,
spit out the bone.
Spit out the bone. Everyone thought James was brilliant. He's singing about a dog choking on a bone. Spit out the bone. Yeah, that's awesome. Spit it out. Come on, dude. Come on. This reminds me of my daughter. She's on the phone 24/7. And she really don't know how to sit alone in a park and do nothing. She has to be on it. And I go, what are you doing? She doesn't even know. But she needs it.
Uh-huh.
It's weird. We really are turning into the Matrix.
Yep.
Here. Come on, dog, spit it out! Come on, that's just his threat. It's got a rhythm. Yeah.
It sounds great too. The album, dude. All the guitars, the drums, and everything sounds awesome. I love how it's like the music is a throwback to an older album that everybody wants, but Hetfield sounds better. Like he's grown into this this sound that's just like way better than I think he sounds on Master
or
Ride the Lightning. It's like, so it's this perfect combination of, you know, what you want to hear Hetfield sound like and what you want the music to sound like.
Right. Yeah.
I know this sounds cheesy. I'm really going to put myself out there. I'm just going to put myself out there. I'm very comfortable with my feelings.
You cried listening to this song.
Huh?
You cried listening to this song.
I cried.
Oh, God.
That what you're saying? Jim, do you want me to edit
this? But you don't know why.
Yeah, please edit
it. You don't know why.
Oh, okay.
The song's called Now That We're Dead. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I literally started crying. And to me, when I hear this song, I know it shouldn't be, it's not very metal, but I freaking dance in my house alone. You know why? Because the way I take it as, you have to look up the lyrics. He says, when darkness comes, let it be, you find the light. When the Reaper calls, let it be. It's basically, listen, we're going to die. You're dying.
That's it.
And when we die, we'll live forever. It's okay. Now I can be with you. Now it's almost like I think of losing my sister, my brother, my father.
Yeah.
And even life, we're like, there's part of me like, there really is nothing when we're done. I don't buy... We're all just in heaven. I have a hard time grasping that.
Right.
Sure. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. No one knows what exists.
Right.
But when I heard this, like, now that we're dead, it's the first time I looked at death as celebrating. It's all right.
Yeah.
Dude, let's see the light. Dude, this is what I'm talking about with the metal pastor.
Right.
He just did it. Now I can't do it. This is it. I love this one. When you're seduced. Right here. When you're seduced. Don't deviate the course. He's literally... all sinners, you got a future. All you saints, it's a past. Beginning, ending, return to ashes. We start all over again. Dude, I'm in my house with my headphones, start crying.
Headphones. Yeah.
I was dancing with my dad. I was dancing with my sisters. I was dancing with Kristen. Died here. That's how I saw it, and that's still how I see this song now. This song is gonna heal me for future deaths. I can tell you right now.
It's great that you found something like that, then.
Yeah, I mean, for someone else, it's like, you know, I'm sure it's something completely different.
That's Jim's Tibetan Book of the Dead.
There it is.
There you go.
That's it.
I love it.
Death.
I can't, and I have nothing to gain from promote. I just.
Right.
I've been waiting for this for like 10, 15 years. I'm constantly searching.
Oh, it's great.
I was in a Five Finger Death Punch for a while. They were the only ones, a little Volbeat. Metallica brought me. I'm like, thank you. I've been waiting as a soon-to-be 50-year-old man.
And that's the hardest thing, to be guys that did it so long ago and then are older. And like, it's like the thing that most people struggle with. They start trying. They sound like older guys trying to sound like they're young, like they're not really there. And they kind of found a comfort of being where they are now and really do it. Like, this is what music should sound like if you grew up playing it at that time and now you're this age. It's not you pretending you're a teenager.
Correct.
It's like it, because it would be obvious. You would hear it in it if it was phony.
Yeah, like a couple of the other bands came out with songs, and I go, as a fan, I go, ooh, wow, it's really good. They sound like their old selves. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I'll tell you what I mean. What do you mean? I'm telling you what I mean. But they do sound like their old selves, but it's, even certain songs, I'm like, all right, I get it. You're singing. Yeah, it does sound like, yeah, this is what we used to sing about, so we're going to sing about it again.
Right.
Yeah. And, all right. This, almost every other song, I'm like, huh.
It's great that Hetfield has it where he has lyrics that are actually, you know, they're worth listening to, and they're worth telling people to listen to them, and that's...
I love it.
That's great.
It's almost, love it.
And clearly he's always had that because look at all the stuff he's written. Oh, but it's like, again, this back to, it's this great, like, perfect storm that seems to have happened. That's what I hear.
Starting to notice it now. Like, I never noticed him as a great lyricist.
Oh, my God.
Until, like, recently, just reading it, just like, he was so young when he was writing those.
He was really young. Like, young 20s.
Yeah.
To be that age and write some of the stuff he was writing at the time is pretty powerful.
Yeah. I always just, like, when I
pretty
grew up,
insightful.
I thought they were just using big words or something, like using words they got from a Dungeons & Dragons book or something.
And who knows? Maybe they were.
but he understood it because it makes sense.
And we all get those words. It's just he put them in a song and made it sound awesome.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Just like anything else, a poem is words that we've all used. It's just a poet actually puts them together where we're like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And it somehow resonates at that time when you read it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So tomorrow, Mike, and just so if anyone's in the Jersey area, we're now in full-blown throttle, even though the Vegas show, we're in full-blown throttle of creating a theatrical show.
Great.
We got into it today. Really liked what we had today. And then tomorrow, we really get into it. And you're coming tomorrow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want you to get a good sense and a good feel of where I'm going. Because I feel like, you know, you're a part of it as well. So it's nice to hear.
Right.
I hate being the messenger.
Right.
Even though I know in my head it's a project I've been working on a lifetime, but still I feel like it's now we've all been invested for a while now.
I think what we need is like is someone to, like, we have this vision of what we want, but
how do we do it? I want to hear him say, here's how we're doing. And he did tell me.
Yeah.
I will say that he did tell me, first we're doing this, then we're doing this, then we're doing this.
Because the part that makes me a little nervous is like, I go, I want to make sure as a band we keep playing because we'll lose.
Oh, hands down.
We have to keep playing, even if it's like we don't have these things are a little bit in the future.
I agree.
Because we learned so much over the past couple months.
Yes, I hands down, like the run we're doing in May,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to get at least 3 or 4 runs by the summer.
Yeah.
Where we're at least a week straight. I'm talking with Matt tomorrow from the agency, how we can anchor it. Put me as stand-up comedian here. I make my money. And then we do a run with the band, but we're all still traveling. And so I can make, I'm not worried about, oh my God, we're losing money.
Right.
Making money there. And then in between, we're doing that band stuff. And the May is a good run, but I wouldn't mind finding something earlier. I already told him I want to try to get back to Jersey, Asbury Park, and the
Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, see if they're interested in having us back, because I'd love for us to go back there in a month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's to stop it from doing it again in about a month?
Yeah.
I also feel we need, and we'll talk tomorrow, I guess, I feel like we need some type of street team.
Yeah.
That we need a, if we're playing somewhere, you need a street team. I don't know what that is, but like, just, we need, here's a flyer, in the mall, check this out, Jim Brewer, and the show, Jim Brewer, the thing.
Well,
and
maybe
then
you do something like the area we're playing, you say, oh, you can come to our show. If someone wants to do that stuff,
you get 10 tickets if you do.
Yeah.
Or if we just find some little local, they become our little promoter. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, you live in Manchester? I'll tell you what, we'll rent the place out and you sell the tickets and we'll give you XYZ if you're able to show up with 20 tickets. And this guy shows up with 20 tickets. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, man.
I don't really either.
I'm not good with that.
Well, one of the things you can do is ask the guy. Are we
the
saying
promoter?
His name?
Oh, tomorrow? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No, we don't have to say his name.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically, it's like, that's one of the things that I've always recognized, something that you're always looking for is that person where you're like, okay, I want this to happen.
But how do you...
How are you going to make that happen?
Exactly.
And but I like, will say this. I'm a little taken back that he's had more of a game plan in the few times I talked to him than I've ever had.
Yeah.
Like, he is precise with X, Y, Z, boom. And it's going to take this many months, and then this is a must in how it has to happen. I'm like, yeah, that's...
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
When it's like I want it to sound like this, I can in my head go, I know how to make it sound like that. I know the right amps to use, the right, and then you gotta get a sound guy. But when we go, I want it to visually look like this, I'm kind of clueless. And I go, like, if you wanted a stage
see, now I'm
setup,
different. I can see. I'm all visual, Mike. I'm a visualist, so I can. That's how I write everything. I visualize it and then try to make it out what I see in my head.
But how do you get, like, say it's like a stage setup?
Yeah.
To me, if you actually had like a stage setup that looks like a garage, it's like you have a truck that brings things around that actually look like a garage.
Or
like,
no, screens.
Or the screens, yeah.
Screens.
Then it's like, then you sit down at a computer and you go, okay, like, we have to find the perfect garage that we want to stand in front of.
Right.
And sit there and... It's just like I haven't done. It's like recording.
Well, you start off low.
Right.
You start off low, low budget. And then as it becomes more successful, you start raising the budget, make it look cooler, and all that jazz. But then your prices start going up, and they can afford that.
Right.
And then the merchandise is going up, and everything else is going up.
And you just
up.
Have to start bringing other people on board, lighting guys and video guys.
Let's just hope we have those problems.
Yeah.
When those problems arise, Mike, won't be worried about anything.
That's the thing that I just go, like, I want to see this. I want it to happen. But then I go, all right, what if we book that? And it comes and we go, well, who's hitting play?
Well, that we will all find out.
Yeah.
And there is a guy too at Bernie's that we were there last week.
Uh-huh.
Who, the Thor guy?
Oh, yeah.
He says he creates the show, stands over the computer, and does the whole show. He's like, that's what I do. I guess this is easy. I went,
he's friends with your Chris?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, he's worth listening to. We also have other options.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so I think those people there's more out there than we imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited about tomorrow. Excited about Wednesday, Bernie's in Chester, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And Joe, you look amazing.
Oh, so do you, Jim.
It's good seeing you looking healthy.
I'm getting
You always look healthy.
I'm getting there.
But don't you, you feel good, don't you?
Yeah, I feel great. Feel great. And I can't wait. I'm not even like, I'm not even balls out yet, which is going
to. Damn, I'm going to owe a lot of money.
Amy, all,
how many pounds?
It's all recorded.
I, the lowest I clocked myself was on Thursday at 17 pounds. Unfortunately, this morning I was 4 pounds
heavier. All right, but how much did I say I was going
to
pay?
So 10 a pound from 1 to 10, then 20 from 10 to 20, and then 30 from 20 to 30.
If you don't believe us, it's all on the podcast.
And then if I keep it off in 6 months,
yes,
double, it's double.
Double.
Yeah.
Better be booking a lot of shows.
I'm going to be able to afford the lighting guy. And
all the lights are going to be
Joe
on you.
Joe looks amazing. Look how the bassist stands out during the shows.
The lights are
That's
flashing
just ridiculous.
On you.
No, you heard Amy. I mean, whenever I go to like grab something that I shouldn't be, she's always like, I want that new closet, Joe,
I want
please. I want that walk-in closet, Joe.
Oh, wow.
You scrolled down.
I know you heard me talking about my Maiden audio headphones.
Here we go.
And how you could win a pair of your very own. Well, I would like to say a huge congrats to Franklin Calderon of Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn in the house.
And a huge congrats to Jim Carlson.
Oh,
shoot. Jim Carlson.
That's right. Of Baytown, Texas.
Baytown, Texas.
And Melvin Clip of Cannon City, Colorado.
Melvin, what's
Colorado.
Up?
Melvin. He's smoking dope. He's smoking dope all
Melvin.
Day, listening to Deep Discounts in,
That's right.
in on Onkyo headphones.
They recently won a pair. You can win one too. Just go to maidenheadphones.com. These headphones are collaboration, if you haven't figured it out by now, by Iron Maiden Steve Harris, who's brilliant. And my sponsor, Onkyo. And we're designed specially for rock and metal fans, so you don't want to miss out. People do win. They have won. Franklin Calderon, Jim Carlson, and Melvin Clip will tell you they have some. If you see people walking around with some
them.
Headphones,
Franklin,
it's definitely them.
Franklin, Melvin, and Jim. Yep. Call them
we
up.
We should call them and find out how they're doing.
They're not going to hear the phone ringing because they got the headphones
on. They got their
phones
on. They're listening to hard rock and metal.
They're listening to some awesome album.
That's right. You don't want to miss out. Trust me. Go to maidenheadphones.com to win right now. Maidenheadphones.com to win right now and enter to win.
Maidenheadphones.
So, here's a shbiggle baggle. Next week, we'll do a phone call because I will be at the Mets Fantasy Camp.
Oh, again.
That was a great podcast when we called you.
Yeah. So, we'll do a Mets Fantasy Camp podcast. I'll call you. We can talk that night.
Okay.
And we'll do a phone call. And because by then, the teams will be elected. The Met coaches will pick their teams, and we will have played our very first game. And I will tell you right now, I'll give you the setup. I want to pitch this year.
Nice.
And I want to take people down.
Yeah.
My arm feels good. I've got movement on it. I feel like I can, I really feel like I can help win my team this year.
Do you mean you're going to peg batters?
I may.
If they deserve
it. I may do brushbacks.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
If they're hogging the plate, I have to brush them back.
Is there any other people? Like, it's all just regular. It's not like
it's regular people.
So you're the only person like with a name that is there.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
I mean, the inside of the plate is yours, man. You're the pitcher.
Yeah, and I'm. Yeah. And I'm and I'm not gonna lie to you. Like I tried 2 weeks ago. I was so excited because I was pitching from the mound. The ball. I was making the ball move.
Is it the correct distance at
yes,
the camp?
It's
awesome.
So far.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's a far pitch.
It's got to seem like a mile. Yeah.
It's a far pitch. So, but I know I'm not very fast. Fast enough where you're like, all right, I can strike out a 60-year-old. 50-year-old, but a real hitter's going to hit me. He's definitely going to hit me. And there's a lot of real hitters down there. But I will say this. So I'm throwing the ball, and I went, you know what? Let me put some speed on it. And I begged the guy who I was playing with, just please put on a helmet. Oh. You don't want to put on a helmet? I threw the ball, and I came within a foot of beaning his head. When I try to put speed on it, I have no control.
Yeah,
it goes flying high and tight.
You do a Delabate.
Yeah, it's not attractive. So it should be interesting. But now that you know I'm being dead serious, I want to come out as one of the best pitchers down there.
That's awesome. That's a good goal, man.
So we'll get updates. We'll get updates. All right, man.
All right.
Have a good week. Me and Mike have a big meeting tomorrow with our future marketer for this whole Songs in the Garage, this whole project. And here we go. And we have Bernie's Wednesday night. It's going to be a kick-ass show.
Awesome.
Chester, New Jersey.
Cool.
Thanks for listening. Hey, if you want to write to us, themetalinme.com, themetalinme.com to any of us. Have a good one.
We played The One You Love to Hate last week, so enjoy Locked and Loaded from the same session.